What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We thank you for tuning in this Monday, January 13th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir.
Johnny Cakes Awville's here.
Playing the music. Be playing it a lot today.
And Eric Pickle.
That's right, buddy. All day. All 4 hours.
Bank 7, button 44.
Early and often, Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders do it again. That is four straight times they've won via game-winning drive.
That's unbelievable.
That's what they do. They're cardiac kids. They keep it interesting right until the final gun.
Something special about
DNA.
Them. Just something special about this group. Who knows? You know, they could go out and get smoked next week. Who knows? They could win. There's just something special about this group, and it's you know, obviously Jaden is the biggest difference. But there's so many contributors, so many guys.
Austin Eckler was huge.
He was awesome.
I know his numbers aren't huge, but it felt like every time he touched the ball, it was electricity.
He's just impactful.
Yeah. I mean, I thought defensively Bobby Wagner was massive. At his age, to be able to just scoop that up as quickly as it just instinctively. He was laying the wood early. We all saw what he did to the running back.
Just so happy that they ran a jet sweep that they rarely run, and they botched it. They bungled it. Yeah. Put the ball on the carpet.
Yeah. The biggest difference in the game
was a gift.
Two botched snaps by the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
You have the fumble, which credit Washington, because they turned that into a touchdown as they go for it on fourth down over and over and over again.
Quinn,
I'm sure.
Find something you love as much as Dan Quinn loves going for it on fourth down. And look, it's hard
they're
to blame.
Setting records.
It's hard to blame him. They were coming into the game last night. They were hitting on an 87% clip.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with all of them, but it paid off.
Some people would say, well, they left some points on the board. Mm-hmm. At the same time,
I couldn't believe
it on fourth down turned into a touchdown instead of settling for a field goal
on the second attempt. I was like, this one, you got to take the points. And then I saw Cliff looking down at his play sheet. I saw all the guys staying out of the field. I said, well, this is just another Dan Quinn special.
It's a philosophy.
This is what
That's
he
what
does.
Do.
It's a philosophy. Yeah. They're
been working
aggressive.
For him.
But the two snaps, Tampa fumbles the jet sweep. Washington turns that into points. Then Tampa looks like they're in position to potentially take the lead. They have third and almost
inches.
Yeah.
Probably half a yard. And a botched snap leads to Bucky Irving losing 3 or 4 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They settle for a field goal to tie the game, and they never get the ball
back. By the way, hat tip to the traveling Commanders fans.
There were a lot of fans
in Raymond James Stadium. At some point, you know, like they were chanting Terry after a big catch.
Chanting MVP.
They were making noise and making it tough on the Buccaneers when they were on offense at certain times during the game. I mean, it was a big Commanders contingent on the road there in Tampa.
I was shocked. Mm-hmm. I was shocked how loud it was.
Yeah. So good for them.
Props to everybody. Just incredible. I'm still kind of stunned.
What was your reaction when the field goal went through?
I actually thought all along it was going to go through. And then when it hit,
Did you jump up and go, yeah? I mean, did you scream? Did you?
Honestly, I went and found my kicking little meme or whatever that I put out there. My kicking little video.
He went to Twitter. Did you see Jaden Daniels' reaction?
Yes. Yeah, so
I mean, yes.
If you go to our Instagram page, follow us there, Sports Junkies Radio. There's a breakdown of Jaden, and he doesn't even really crack a smile. He's kind of just looking at it. Then eventually, after, like, I don't know if it's trainer or somebody's like, hey, it went through.
Well, he had to make sure
he gets
good.
Up for a second, then he has this little tiny smile.
A lot of times when you shank it off the upright, it's not going to go through. That's just the kind of season.
That's kind
of
year,
Well, he was inside it just enough. So everyone's saying
he's still a dog kicker. I'm not going to move on. Like, that's fine.
He's an OCD kicker.
He's definitely got that.
Like, his hair, there's not that much hair there to move around. Mm-hmm. Like, He doesn't have like long.
That nothing
like,
to do with that.
Well, like, did you see his sock routine?
I didn't see the sock routine. No,
I watched ESPN after the game, yeah. And they showed before the kick. So during the drive,
mm-hmm.
you know, a great drive. Don't give the ball back to Tampa. Yeah. I think that Todd Bowles, the donk, didn't really use his timeouts well, properly there.
He's a clown. He's not the only one. Add him to a long right. list of coaches.
He's had that reputation for a few years.
Yeah. But look, when Washington needed to get a first down
yeah.
to ensure that Tampa wouldn't get the ball back, Jaden Daniels made a play.
Also, and I know
he scrambled and he made the first down.
I'm focusing on the kicker, and he did make the kick, so I'll give him credit. I don't like the way he lines up either. I don't like how he
right.
He should be like this.
You want the two okay? steps to the side?
He does right. this.
Yeah.
He's standing like this.
Right.
And I don't like it.
Well, anyway,
I don't love it.
They showed him before the kick.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's fidgeting with his sock.
Right.
He needs it.
He
to
takes the
be
sock
perfect.
Off and yeah. he fidgets it. The same thing that
perfect.
He does with the hair,
yeah.
he does with the sock.
Understood.
Yeah, I saw.
But you know what? He made it.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it went through.
He made, I'm drilling down on it, but he made the kick.
And he made a 50-yarder earlier in the game.
He's been, listen, I don't care what Cake says, he's been borderline great since he's come in.
I can't. That's the bridge too far.
Since the Cowboys.
I can't say borderline.
He's their sixth kicker.
Yes. I don't know that he's missed anything
he
since the Cowboys game.
He will not be their kicker on the opening
Maybe
game
not.
Next year.
Okay.
I'll bet a lot of money on that.
I'm not betting anything. But
you still got to give him credit for what he's done this year.
Give him credit for sneaking it through. Like, he barely made it.
Well, not just this kick, but, I mean, the kicks he's made in the regular season.
There's almost no such thing as barely making it. You're either making it or you didn't. And he made it. And I honestly didn't sweat it that much.
Washington.
I was focused last night.
If that was a little longer, it's going right.
Oh, yeah. That was 38 yards.
Yeah, but Jaden put him in position. It's what they do as an offense. It's what Jaden does. You give him the ball last mm-hmm. in either a tie game or a situation where they can win the game. They've been doing it consistently. And they dominated the time of possession in this game. They dominated the amount of plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was 69 plays to 44. Like, Baker Mayfield had a good game. He only had 18 attempts.
Right.
He was 15 for 18. His quarterback rating was near 150.
Didn't have the ball.
Did not have the ball.
And that Tampa's MO throughout the season was they held the ball for nearly 32 minutes per game. They were top three in the league.
And the
Commanders flipped the script on them.
You look at Washington on third down, 8 for 15.
Yeah.
On fourth down, 3 for 5. And I get it. You don't love when they have a situation where they can kick a field goal and they get stopped, leaving points on the board. But it's a philosophy,
yeah.
and it paid dividends with the touchdown to Terry McLaurin.
Listen, it worked out, and he's the coach. But you don't have to go for every effing fourth down.
No, he's going to go for most of them.
You got to look at the score situation.
I
didn't like the one where you just kicked the field goal. I said it before. I made a point of saying it before, you know, on Twitter, whatever. I'd kick it here because it at least keeps you within one score if they score.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, Baker fumbled. Thank God.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it worked out for him. It's great. There's something special about this team. They got the magic dust.
It's almost like a team of destiny. You're
feeling
like.
You can also say there's something special about Detroit. There definitely is.
Yeah.
So,
that's going to be a fun one Saturday night.
I don't think anybody wants to play us, but I don't think anybody wants to play the Lions either.
Worry about Detroit a little bit later. You should bask in this win.
No, I'm not worried. I'm just saying there's something special about this team. There's also something special about Detroit. But, the time is now. Time is now. We can win it this year.
All right, let me set the lineup for the show today. John Keim's going to join us early from ESPN.com. We will talk to the Commanders insider here shortly. Fred Smoot is going to join us. We will talk to Smootback. We can get his take on Marshawn Lattimore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Evans got the best of him. It is what it is.
He's a Hall of Fame receiver.
Evans is great.
Against the guy who hasn't played a lot in the last 6 or 7 weeks.
I mean, Evans won that battle, but Lattimore won the game.
Lattimore,
and if you want a Commanders cheerleader, we got Joe Theismann later in the show. So we'll talk to Joe T. It's been 20 years since the Commanders won a playoff game. We're celebrating all morning. It's Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.
From 37 to send Washington to the final 8.
Twenty years. It's been 20 years. My daughter is a huge Commanders fan. Texted, I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Sure, yep. Of course.
2006.
Any command, like all the Commanders fans that are your kids' age and my kids who range from 20 years old to 27, like,
yeah,
they don't know what this is like. That last night was their first real taste of it.
The doink was a beautiful sound to them.
I guess, sure. It worked.
All right, let's touch base with our pal John Keim. John Keim, of course, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Hey, John.
What up, guys? How are you?
How are you doing,
this team, you give the ball this team with 5 minutes or less and a chance to win it, they're going to win it.
It's a wrap. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like, I think we've all been saying this, but there's not a single team in the playoffs that wants to see Jaden Daniels with the ball in that situation, because they've come through time and time again. Listen, the quarterback drives that engine, but it's not just him. Mm-hmm. They just make plays in the end to win games. Yeah. And he's a driver, but these guys just have a strong belief. But yeah, when they hit midfield, 2 minutes left, like, it's over.
It's not just him, but it wouldn't happen if he wasn't part of the ingredient.
Sure. Yeah. Listen, like I said, he's driving that train.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's a belief that's fueled that you need throughout everybody else and on the sidelines, et cetera. But yes, there's no doubt. Teams do not want to face this team with number five with the ball late in the game, needing one score.
I don't think so. And what really highlighted, and so you're in the press box, and I know you have some monitors around, but mostly you're looking at the field, I'm assuming.
Right.
They kept showing these close-ups of Jaden throughout the game, and obviously, you saw it at the end of the game, and we've seen it all year, but it never ceases to amaze me how calm he is. Yeah. In the middle of the storm.
He doesn't get too high or too low.
They got the camera right on his face, and there's 8 seconds left on the play clock, and he's just calmly looking at everything, maybe making a change. I mean, he never gets fazed! It's unbelievable, no. John.
It's exactly what everybody told me before the draft about him and how he reacts to good plays or bad plays. But it's also like he's so wedded to what do you need to do right now? What is the process right now?
So locked
like,
in.
I mean, someone even asked him what his emotions were like after the game. He's like, I don't know. I don't even think I smiled. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, what he remembers is Charlie Muley, telling him that he's got to do some interviews. That's what he remembered from that moment. And then, of course, you see him celebrating on the field before he's going in the locker room and going crazy. He's not a robot, but in those moments, he's locked in as much as anybody that we've seen at that position here in a long, long time, maybe ever.
John, how critical was that play, the third and one, where Cansey bursts through the line and grabs Jaden's towel off of his waist, and then Jaden just leaves him in his wake and gains the critical first down? I thought, wow, like he burst through with such quickness. I thought he was just going to drop him for a huge loss. But, I mean, Jaden found
it. He always finds a way to get away.
Got the edge there.
I'm pretty sure he thought he was going to drop him for a loss, too. But that's what he does. And, you know, it's funny because even yesterday, like, going to the game, I was talking to Sam Forte from the Post. Like, there's just certain athletes, you just say, they just get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the situation is. And he is one of them. And he will be one of them for a long time. And I think in that moment, like, yeah, he had a shot, but there have been other guys who have that shot and also can't get him down. But, you know, that was huge because then it allowed you to run out the clock. And, I mean, it's what he does. It's funny because, like, you try to think of better ways to describe something. It's like, you really can't. It's like, it's Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. This is what he does. I mean, and he's kind of a fun player to watch.
I got to tell you, I watched listen to your pod. I put it on YouTube when I'm driving in, so I kind of keep one eye on it and one eye on the road. Sorry. And I could see genuine enthusiasm from you, John, and I know that you're a pro.
Yeah.
And I know you probably don't really care. I know you're an Ohio State guy and all that. Dude, it seems like you're rooting. It seems like you're rooting for this team.
Well, let me say this. You don't root, but it's hard not to get caught up in the enthusiasm with what's going on.
Right.
And it's a fun team to watch. It's a fun thing to be a part of in whatever level, in whatever tangential way you are. You know what I mean? I'm not a robot.
Right.
So you get caught up. Like, I mean, you're watching something. I'm watching something that I know I've never seen here.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and then just to watch how the community has embraced the team, and just, it's fun. It's fun to be a part of in any way, in whatever fashion you are. And it's exhausting for a reporter because, like, you know, I'm here at the airport after an hour nap. But you know, I remember when the first time in the playoffs in 99 and driving to the airport, and I, you know, I was here during the 91 run, not covering the team, but in the area. And it's fun when a community gets wrapped up into it. And mm-hmm. it just hasn't been like that. I remember in 99, the first time that, like, you go into the airport, you're seeing signs like "Go Redskins," et cetera. And it's like, it's been a long time. And so, you know, it's fun. If I'd be lying if I didn't say I said I wasn't having fun, because that's what this is. And you know, you're right. Like, it doesn't affect how I'm going to write things or anything like that. You know, your job is your job. But I'm also a sports fan, so right. I can appreciate what this moment means. Like, I know if I was a Washington fan, longtime Redskins, Commanders, you know, football team fan, how I would feel after that game, because I know how the Indians win a game because of Lane Thomas hitting a grand slam.
Right.
I lose my voice.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, so
you
I
get
understand.
It, yeah. But you also know it. The guys, and that's different
guys,
too, right? Because now you have a personal issue, and they're so damn likable, like, to a man.
And here's the other thing. Like, I've been around Terry McLaurin, Cosme, Tressway, Jeremy Reeves,
yeah.
you know, John Allen, guys who have been through the ringer here and the crap here and what they had to endure. And to see people like you like and respect mm-hmm. have this level of joy is a cool thing to have a front row seat to. Absolutely. And, you know, again, it doesn't change how I do anything. But, yeah, I mean, I've known these guys for a long time. I mean, I talk to them every week. You know, and so to see them having this kind of fun, and, you know, again, the fan base too, because it's been hell, as you guys know.
Yeah.
And there was never any hope for them, never any legitimate long-term hope. And now there's all this, but this is like the most unique year people will see, you know, whatever, however it finishes, to have these kind of finishes week after week. It's almost like the football guy said, we're going to re-energize this fan base and give you one extreme fun finish after another. And with a quarterback who's going to be a star here for a long time. Like, here you go. You deserve it.
John, didn't expect De'Ami Brown to have this type of game. Probably the game of his life so far. 5 catches,
absolutely.
89 yards and a touchdown.
And he's another one that who's been here for a while and is, you know, has not achieved what people had hoped when they drafted him. But he's had a solid year for what they want him
flashes.
To do.
He's shown flashes.
Yeah, I think it also speaks to how, I mean, one day it's Olamide Zaccheaus having a good game, right? And so it's like, you know, Noah Brown steps in there when he was around and healthy. So I think one of the beauties of this team is they have guys who can do things and they find ways to use them. Like, De'Ami's a really tough runner. He's really good on the screens. So they find ways to get him involved in that way. You know, on the touchdown, I give a hockey assist to Terry McLaurin because the eyes went to him as he runs the crosser, right? And it allows De'Ami to sneak in the back, but Jaden Daniels finds him because he typically is not going to lock in on a guy. He's going mm-hmm. to read the field. So I think that speaks to Daniels as well, that, you know, his ability to not, you know, I think there have been times with Terry, everybody wants him to get the ball, but he doesn't force it to him. I think that's very important and very mature. He'll get it to him, but he's not going to force it if somebody else is open. And that yesterday was De'Ami. He had some huge catches, man.
JK, this is kind of a follow-up to what Eric asked you, but, I mean, last year this team was so bad, and, you're there every day, and you're talking to these guys, and you're talking to the coaches, and you knew the coaches were gone, and a lot of the players were gone, too. I mean, that was a 4-win team. This team's 13-5.
No.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. Do you get a sense that there's – I mean, obviously you weren't around these coaches last year, but is there any sense of surprise from the coaching staff as how good they are and the win total? Because I'm shocked.
Yeah, no, I'm very surprised. I think, like, even before the season, you'd hear, like, some of them thought the roster was better than what the outside world gave it credit for. And so I don't know if they're – I think that's probably a better question to ask after the season when they're not locked in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you're in it, I think you stop being surprised. I think when you step away from it, you might say, like, holy hell, how did that happen?
Yeah.
You know, and not just the 13 wins, but how they got to those 13. And, you know, just one finish after another like this, like, this just doesn't happen. You know, it doesn't. And so I think that's where you could step back. I'm sure that, like, you know, I think there'd have to be an element of surprise because we're all there. And by the way, going back to what you guys asked me earlier, the other fun thing as a reporter, as someone who loves football, is this is the first year I've been able to ask football questions the entire frickin' way, mm-hmm. and just have it be about football. So from a reporter standpoint, I'm grateful for that. Because there's so many years where you get to, like, I have all these plans. You want to talk about this. You get to December, it's like, well, that's out the window because the team stinks. And now you got something else to talk about.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is an aside. But yeah, for these guys, I think there'd have to be an element of surprise just because who could have predicted this?
Mm-mm.
Talking to John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Should we give the defense a little credit? Now, they force a couple punts, but Tampa has a super explosive offense, and they're helped by Washington's offense dominating the clock and running so many plays. But held them to a couple field goals, did force a couple punts. Washington didn't punt in the game. Should we have given the defense a little credit?
Absolutely. Listen, Bucky Irving has had a really good run here lately. And, you know, you're right. Like, the offense holding the ball for 35 minutes makes a big difference. But they didn't let Irving run wild. And my concern for them was, you know, would that happen? Like, if he's going over 100 yards, and obviously that means they're controlling the game, but that was a danger spot for me. And I thought they did a good job against him. And it wasn't perfect, but it was good. And, you know, they talked about, like, being gap sound and all that. And it certainly felt like that watching the game. But the other thing is they didn't miss tackles. If they did, it wasn't many at all. And I think, like, with Irving, they did a good job. The defensive ends, one of the keys for him is you got to get upfield. And I felt like they did. And you could force him back inside to help. And they, you know, a couple times you get, you know, you can – get the ends upfield, the backside end to make a play. Saw that. That's what they did well. And then the explosive plays, you know, Mike Evans obviously had a few big plays, and they had a couple big pass plays. But one thing, when Baker Mayfield scrambled, he didn't hurt him as much like he did in the opener. Like, the opener, that was a pain. And they got him down. They pinched him a little bit. He wants to scramble to throw, not run. And he had to run a couple times. But they did a better job than in the first game with plastering on their guy. So when he starts to scramble, they're locking on, and so that was improved as well. So yeah, they absolutely deserve a lot of credit. You know, in 20 points.
Yeah,
John, Mike Evans got his last night against Lattimore. You touched on that. Is it more that, look, that's just a Hall of Fame receiver who's targeted heavily by Baker, or is it Lattimore had missed, you know, like the better part of a month, 6-7 weeks? He'd only been out there two times. Well, what did you think of Lattimore's performance?
I thought he looked like a guy who'd only been out there a couple times in the last since October. That's how it looked like to me. And, you know, when you watch his game film, like when I watched his film from when he played Evans early in the year when he was with New Orleans, that wasn't the guy out there last night. So I don't know if it's just rust, if he's like, is his hamstring full or what, but that didn't look like the guy that I've seen on film.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, I think that's a hard guy to play. And I was talking to a former defensive back, just texting with him during the game, and kind of agreed with me that it just looked like someone who hasn't played in a little bit. So, you know, I don't know. Like, that's, you know, I think that's how it came across to me. There were a couple of times, like, it felt like he got a little bit off balance on some of his back pedal, something like that. So, you know, that's what stood out, but we'll see.
Is there any clarity on the pain finger injury? Because, I mean, Payne's a warrior. I would guess, unless it's like broken or like really mangled, he's not coming out of the game. Do you have any updates?
Yeah. No update. Maybe get one later today when we talk to Quinn, but nothing at this point.
Hey, real quick, John, just, you know, we obviously, if you had to pick one guy, we've touched on it on the field, that's made the biggest difference. I think we'd all agree it's Jaden. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But in the locker room, you guys always talk about the brotherhood and all that stuff. Who's been the locker room guy that's changed everything?
I think there have been a few guys. I mean, but Bobby Wagner's is the guy. I mean, he is, you know, it's hard to describe. Like, he's as normal a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame as I've covered.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like he, you know, but I think it's the way he interacts with Jaden Daniels. Like, I think that helps things. I mean, you know, having
they
guys
break balls,
like,
right? That's a deal.
Oh, for sure. It's a big brother, little brother relationship by for sure.
Right.
But Bobby has a knack. First of all, like, guys respect the hell out of him. Like, when in the spring, when you'd ask them about, you know, he'd walk by a scrum, they're like, there's Bobby Wagner. Their eyes would get big. Mm. But he doesn't walk around with airs. Like, I've been around those guys, right, mm-hmm. who think they're a little bit, but he's not that. And he has a knack for knowing when to say something. He knows how to lead. He knows how to prepare. I think all that stuff matters, but his personality is just like he doesn't act like he's above anybody. And I think that goes a long way when you're of his stature. And I think the guys like Zach Ertz, you know, like just, and it's from a, sometimes it's what you say, but it's also what you do. And like Zach Ertz, after the Browns game, had a bad game blocking. He's out there on Wednesday in full pads, taking Cole Turner out there, just working on his blocking. Like, guy, he works on stuff, footwork every day during practice, like off to the side when they're doing special teams work. People see that and it goes a long way. And that's a different kind of thing than what you're talking about. But in the locker room, Bobby Wagner, it's a good, I think they did a really good job, and you don't always get this, but they did a really good job of finding the right players for this team. And that's why I always say, like in free agency, people need to remember this. Don't go crazy if they don't always just sign the biggest name available at a position of need. It's always about fit. Now, if it's a talented guy, that's even better. But I think they were really good and about the fit of a player, and I think that's why the locker room is really good. But Wagner's the dude in there.
Mm-hmm. John, always a pleasure talking to you. Take a deep breath and then get ready for Detroit.
Safe trip. All right. Safe trip, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, buddy.
Good talking to you.
John Keim covers the team for ESPN.com. Of course, we're celebrating all morning. Play the music. It's Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. It's five straight games that have come down to the final play, and five straight dubs for Washington, including their first playoff win in 20 years. 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. It's been 20 years since we could celebrate a Washington playoff win.
Long 20 years. Long
drought.
They get a 23-20 win over Tampa on the road. Yet another game that comes down to the last play. It's five straight games that have ended this way for Washington. It really is incredible when you think about how they're winning these games.
You know, I tell you,
started with the New Orleans game, the two-point conversion. They had the game-winning touchdown against the Eagles. And it's just continued all the way through the playoffs.
You know, you mentioned the defense and obviously the offense holding the ball for, you know, drives like 17 plays, 11 plays, 10 plays certainly helps. But this is the fewest amount of points that the Bucs had scored since November 10th.
Yeah.
When they lost 23-20 to the 49ers. So they did a pretty good job. You know, they weren't the difference. The difference was obviously Jaden making plays and that last drive. And then, of course, the fumble from Baker. But
the fumble was massive.
Really massive.
But defensively, it's not like they were giving up huge chunks.
For them to hold on to the ball that long and to rush so ineffectively throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, B-Rob did nothing.
Nothing.
10 carries for 16 yards.
He did have four catches for 22.
Okay, he contributed some in the passing
and
game.
And I have to say, in his defense, I didn't see a lot of holes. Like, that's a great defense against
the run. Yeah.
I feel like when he's in the game, it's just like such a tell for the defense, too. They kind of know that he's going to run it.
That could be true. I don't know. They have to scout
themselves.
I don't
know, man. I just like when Eckler touches the ball.
I do, too. But even Eckler wasn't that much more effective running the ball.
He beat 8 for 27.
He doubled up B-Rob's numbers and then some. I mean, B-Rob was particularly ineffective rushing the ball yesterday.
But Tampa is good at stopping the run.
They're top five in the league.
I just didn't see a lot
there. Their secondary just leaves holes,
right?
And Jaden took advantage of that.
Yeah. And I liked it. Seemed like when Jamel Dean, when he went down, they started immediately attacking the corners, which I like. And look, when you're an offensive coordinator, that's exactly what you should do. If they're bad at defending the pass coming into the game, and then both of their starting corners go down, by all
means,
you gotta
take advantage of it.
Attack them instead of trying to slam the ball up against Vita Vea and company.
But they were playing way off McLaurin. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were playing 10, 12, sometimes 15 yards off of them.
Also, Lattimore was playing so far off Evans. Yeah. That was killing me. I was like, come on, dude. We pay all this money. Like, get up on his ass.
McMillan early in the game, they're playing off him, too.
I want to ask you, you're the biggest mm-hmm. Commanders fan I know. How did you feel when Tampa has the ball and Washington's up by 3 at 20-17? So I want to go through the last two drives.
You got to remind me exactly
if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Well, Washington gets the lead. All right. You're up by 20-17.
Yeah.
And Tampa's driving the ball. Ultimately, that drive stalled on the botched snap, but they were moving the ball down the field with ease.
It got down to the 12.
I felt, I just remember looking at the clock. I was constantly monitoring the clock, and I felt like, okay, we're still time. We're going to get the ball back, you know, and I felt like we could move it.
Did you think that Tampa was going to score a touchdown there?
No, I thought they were going to score some points.
I did.
For sure.
When they got down to the 12, they had first and 10 from the 12, I think.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is, I think, all right, they end up getting stopped there. Bucky Irving, I think, could have had a first down run, and he cut it back. Remember he cut mm-hmm. it back?
Yeah.
And then it left it for a short play, and
he
then
got 9 yards on that. Yeah.
And then they botched the snap, which leads to the field goal. And then, so what is your feeling then? Washington gets the ball back, less than 5 minutes to go.
Well, I just...
Full confidence? Or are you stressed out?
No, I was pretty locked in the whole time. But definitely, like, I was nervous, but I was locked in. I wasn't getting crazy. My family was going crazy, and I was like a chess player. I was just locked in watching the game. I felt like if we could get the first, I was really afraid of what's happened to us in the past a couple times, of all of a sudden we're in third and long, and now we got to, what are we going to do? We're going to go for 4th and 10? Like, I just wanted to get that first down, because we're just good in those situations. I was a little bit nervous, because if you remember, it was the first down play on that last possession. It was a short pass to McLaurin for 5 yards. And then, of course, B-Rob went for -1. Now it's 3rd and 6.
Yep.
I was butt scared.
Diami was wide open.
Diami
was wide
open. Huge pass to Diami.
And then once that happened, I was like, okay.
Three plays in the last drive which really stand out. You had the 3rd and 6, 21-yard pass to Diami Brown. 2nd and 10,
yep.
The dump off to Eckler, which...
Oh, it looked
when the
dicey.
Ball's here, you're like, oh, I could get picked off.
It was a floater, and I saw the proximity of the Tampa defender. Right. It was Diaby.
He was close.
But, like,
he had his back turned.
He's a big, like, defensive end, and he was out in space. So you knew, once Eckler caught it, that he was going to be able to get away
with
it. That ball seemed like it was in the air forever.
When Eckler gets the ball, I mean, I don't know what he runs the 40 in. I mean, he's not one of the fastest guys in the league, but he's so quick.
Yeah. Oh, he's
shifty, and he can get away from guys.
Yeah.
And when he gets the ball in open field, man, he's just fun to watch.
So that goes for 18
yards.
It's
still the same drive. When they threw that ball to Terry on the outside, I thought that was a bit of a floater. And I haven't felt that way about Jaden in a long time. So it was 1st and 10, and he throws it to him. It was like a 6-yard gain. I don't know if you remember, 5-yard gain. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a bit of a floater that could have got run back for mm-hmm. 6.
The other huge play, now they would have kicked a field goal if he gets stuffed, but 3rd and 2, Jaden Daniels runs, and you mentioned it before, the defender's right there, but Jaden Daniels is able to escape and get the first down, and that means Tampa's not getting the ball back.
It just felt so good when you saw Kancey, when he realized he was going to get the first down, he takes the towel over his head.
Yeah,
he
knew it.
In frustration, he just throws it down by his knee. Like,
I think
he was pissed that he didn't get that
Bowles
tackle
talked about this. You can't let Jaden run to the right. You can't let him run to the right. I'm not saying he's not effective running to the left, but when he goes to the right, game over.
I said to my kids, I think it was in the second quarter, because I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I said, Jaden realizes he's going to have to win this game.
Right.
Because you could tell the running game wasn't going to work, and it was Jaden knew. I just had that sense, and he knows it's going to ride or die with me. I'm going to have to carry this team. And he had 13 carries, not for a lot of yards, but he got what he needed when he had to.
Yeah, they had more designed runs than usual. And I think Valdez, you can speak to this. Lamar had more runs on Saturday night, too. Like, it's do or die. You're going to go for it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's your best player.
You have that skill set? Of course you're going
to
do that.
Well, and if the game plan from the defense is to crash on the running back,
right,
and you have the option of pulling it, you
know. The one play was just so reminiscent of RG3. Remember the one read option they ran, and I can't remember who he hit right over the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was classic 2012. Might have been classic. It was like the exact same play.
Yeah. And they made a point too on the last drive that they actually had two spies on Jaden at one point.
Right.
Well,
right.
Which is dangerous because guys are going to be wide open across the middle of the field.
I couldn't believe that Levante David kept up with him to the sideline early in the game.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, he was running left. Yeah, he was running
shocked
left.
Shocked me that happened.
Yeah, I don't know if he had an angle. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised.
All right, let's go to the phones. But touch the people. Tell us how you were feeling late in that game and then the thrill of victory.
All right, let's go.
Any victory buns out there?
Oh, it's too late. No, way too late.
I would have been up for it, but I mean, you know.
I mean, that's like midnight.
It takes two to tango.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Let's go to Daniel in Mechanicsville. Daniel, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Junks. Appreciate the call, man. I'm just so excited. Jaden Daniels is not playing like a rookie at all.
No.
I mean, he's keeping
his really
eyes downfield. I know. It is just incredible. Like, he's keeping his eyes downfield in the midst of chaos. His accuracy is amazing. He's running the triple option at a pro speed level. He takes off running when very decisively with his running. It's just we're not like this should not be happening for a rookie quarterback. Like,
I think I could say this, and who knows if it's true, but I'm just gonna say it. He's the most poised rookie I've ever seen, like a quarterback.
It's pretty damn good.
I mean, if you think of guys like Peyton Manning, who's incredible, but struggled his rookie year. You know what I mean? Like, there are big quarterbacks that come in and play great, but the level of poise that he had, he just never looked phased the entire season.
He went on the road against a tough defense and accounted for over 300 total yards and didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Well, that's
and
the key. Yeah, I mean.
Like, that's, like, for a rookie.
Not turning the ball
anybody,
over.
For anybody.
Where the veteran on the other side turns the ball over in a critical part.
Right.
Part of the
they
game.
Didn't punt.
I know.
So credit Cliff, who's going to get interviews this week.
Yeah. Yep.
I think he can talk to teams this week.
He's probably gone.
Credit Cliff, but JD5 makes the plays.
I credit Cliff, but I credit that guy more.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank
five
you.
More.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, five.
Yeah. The guy wearing that jersey.
All right. Yeah. Let's go to Paul in D.C., 800-636-1067. Play the freaking music, Cakes. Paul, what's up?
I'm going to have a callus on my finger by the end of the
show. I don't know if you guys were looking at the game on the same time, but when they scored 20-20, they showed a shot with Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels talking, and Terry was smiling like, man, this is a wrap.
Yeah, he grabbed
the
Gatorade.
And so that kind of gave me some comfort because I was saying to myself, Tampa not going to see this ball again because we're going forward on fourth downs and Jaden is about to take over. But the biggest stat of the evening was the fact that there were no punts. We drove the ball, we held the ball, we controlled the ball. And let's just look at this deeply. He's doing all of this with no run game when it should be a run game because everybody's focusing on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's
well, he's the run game.
Yeah. No, it's incredible.
He has been.
He's the run game.
But that's the point.
I know.
You got two spies. You got people that's devoted to strictly looking at Jaden. It should be all running lanes everywhere. And yet this young man doesn't have no running game, no number two wide receiver. And no legitimate consistent tight end presence up the middle, even though Ertz is pretty like a C+, B- average. But and we win it. I've never been more happy to go to Detroit.
I'd want to see more Eckler touches next week than Brian
good
Robinson.
Good call.
I like Brian Robinson when he comes on the show.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think Eckler should get more carries than Brian Robinson.
I wouldn't have one problem with that.
I mean, Eckler's great. I'm going to defend Brian just to this extent. I didn't see a lot out there.
No, like yeah, a lot of times he didn't have
he
much of a chance.
Stuffed sometimes 1 or 2 yards behind.
But maybe the defenses approach the backfield differently when they see Brian Robinson lined up versus Eckler, who's a threat out of the backfield.
Although he
I
caught
don't know.
Four balls too, though. Right?
Yeah.
Didn't you say that?
Yeah, 4 for 22.
Yeah.
And by the way, De'Ami Brown's performance, he saved his best for the playoff game. That was the most yards he had. I think it was the most catches he had in a single game. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe he can be, he's not a number two wide out. Maybe he can be the number three going forward. Maybe he's the rare, like, Ron drafted guy that survives the purge? Well, yeah. Maybe. I mean,
there's a reason why he's still here. He's a tough kid. He's got a lot of ability.
He can run.
Yeah, he's got a lot of ability.
You can keep him on the roster, but they need a better number two.
That's fine.
They're going to find that guy.
Well, I'm sure they will.
He's a key contributor.
We should credit the offensive line
on
a lot of these screen passes.
Mm-hmm.
It's great blocking. Like, Diami did catch balls downfield, but he also caught screens where they're knocking over defenders like bowling pins. Like, it's not like that very first game against Tampa, but there was a lot of sideways passing, which turns into yards because they're really good at blocking those screens.
Speaking of the offensive line, here's a rule that I hate. It was the Andrew Wiley penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the ineligible man downfield. Can we get rid of that penalty, please? It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's a rule.
Please eliminate that rule. Who cares if a big, fat offensive lineman is 10 or 12 yards down the field on a play?
Well, because then they can block downfield when they're supposed to wait.
Fine. You know what that does? It scores more points. It makes the game more exciting. Please get rid of that terrible rule.
All right, we'll come back, take more of your calls. We're celebrating. How do you feel? A lot of suffering the last two decades. The first playoff win in 20 years. The Commanders take it 23-20. We're celebrating on a Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com.